I just pray, and I've been hearing some of the testimonies on what the Lord has done in your lives this week, and praise the Lord for that. Just keep it up. You can't. The Bible says, "Let any man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And that's the mistake we make as Christians, that we think, oh, we're good, oh, we don't need this, or we're good in this area. But we should always be searching for changes and that we can make to our lives. Always searching the Word of God, and always just trying to grow as Christians. I don't think we'll ever stop growing. I don't think that anybody is, even the most spiritual people on earth, I don't think you've ever arrived, but you should always want to grow. And so I had a wonderful day today, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. I got to go up to Mount Spokane, and there were just the beautiful colored changing leaves everywhere, and I just went up there, and I had to. The Word of God has convicted even me so much this week. I just had to go and spend some time with the Lord, and I just had a wonderful time up there with Him, and it was real windy and breezy, and I thought I was going to get blown off the mountain, and I just knew, and I just met the Lord up there, and it was just such a wonderful time. And I just want to thank you, church. Thank you so much for what you've done for me this week. Every need that I had was met. You've just supplied all the needs and just really taking good care of me. Thank you to the Tuckers for taking me in, and you know, I kind of feel like I'm leaving home now. They've just made me feel so at home, and have treated me so wonderful, and I am not deserving of it, so I just thank you so much. And for all the food this week, and thanks for helping me keep my diet. No, just kidding. I think if there's one thing you did wrong this week is you fed me too much pie and cake. But no, it was my fault for eating it, and I have no one but to blame but myself. And then all the cookies afterwards, oh my soul. And you know, I need to. I'll have a good time of fasting and prayer after this meeting, and that should take care of that. But I want to challenge you with something tonight, in Bibles to 1 Samuel in chapter number 15, and I really have been looking forward to this message. Tonight to preach, and I've been kind of asking God when the right timing would be, and he kind of just showed me that it would be tonight. And I want to preach this message to you tonight, and just to kind of motivate you, if you would. And this is kind of it's going to tie into what we've been learning this week out of the Word of God. And I just want to challenge you from one young man's life, and I'm going to preach out of one of the most familiar stories that we have in Christianity today. I think as early as I can remember being in Sunday school, you know, you had the teacher there, and she put up the little boy named David, and you sang the song maybe in Sunday school, "Only a Boy Named David, Only a Little Brook," and all that, and then she put the giant up there, and then, you know, she would say he swung it around, and she put the giant down on the flannel graph board there, just one of the most familiar stories. But as I was reading it one time, the Lord just smote my heart about a certain moment and a certain time in the story, and I want to use it to encourage you tonight. But I want to start off by looking in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and then we'll read a few, verse 17 of 15, and we'll get to chapter 17 here in a minute. But I've kind of broke it down just to a few key passages that we can look at, a few key things that I believe we could read the whole story tonight, but I think we're all pretty familiar with it. And if you're not, maybe you could read it at home or something, and I'll try and tell the story a little bit. But in verse 17, and look what it says, "And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." And of course, he's talking to Saul. And Saul at one time when was used of God, but something happened in his life, and the Bible kind of gives us the key right there. When he was little in his own sight, when he was when he didn't have that pride, but was there looking for the donkeys and found the man of God, and was anointed the king of Israel. That's when God chose to use him. So There's something we can learn from that, and I've been preaching kind of about that this week. If you want to be used of God, you're going to have to humble yourself before Him. You're going to have to get rid of the pride and rid of your wants and all those things and put them in subjection to the Lord if you want to be used of the Lord. But look at the next chapter, verse 16. Verse number 11 of chapter 16, and it says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth." And just read the end of verse 18 there and look at what it says. "And the Lord is with him." And that's somebody telling Saul about David. And that's what they knew about David. That's what he was known for, that the Lord was with him. So that's very key, I believe, in this passage of Scripture. But skip over in chapter number 17 to verse 28. And we're going to read this, and then we're going to have... I'm going to open the sermon in prayer. And it says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and it's the last night of this revival, Father, and I just pray that it being the last night, that you would just work on our hearts in a very special way, Father, and I pray that you would help me as I try and challenge and encourage this church to go on and do more for you than it's ever done before, Father, and I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, remove this preacher tonight, that I would speak your words and not mine. And Father, we'll give you the honor, the praise, and the glory for anything that you do. And we ask it in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, but we're all familiar with this story, and it's one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible, and even sometimes it's used in the secular realm, you know, when maybe in college basketball or something, when the unranked team comes in and then they say, well, it's David against Goliath tonight and all that stuff. So even the secular world kind of knows about this story, but there's just a few key things I believe in the story. But let me just kind of set it up for you. We read there when Samuel came to the town and the Lord said, I'm taking my hand off of King Saul. And you see that the Spirit of the Lord left King Saul, and an evil spirit troubled him. And the Lord told Samuel, go up into this certain area, and I'm going to anoint the next king of Israel. And he came to the house of Jesse, and the Lord directed Samuel right to the house he needed to be at. And he said, where are all your kids? Bring them out here. And he brought them up and lined them out by age there and by height, I'm sure. And he comes to the first man, Eliab. And Eliab was strong and in the king's army, and just he really looked a lot like, kind of like King Saul. He just fit the part of a king perfect. And if you had to judge from the outside, and I'm sure Samuel came up to him and judged from the outside, man, look at this guy. Surely he's the eldest, so this is the one we want. And the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, no, that's not the one. Although he looks good on the outside, that's not the one. So Samuel, you know, said, you get out of here. Must be something wrong with your heart. Oh, here's the next in line. Surely, Lord, this is the one that you would have. And that wasn't the one. And all the way down the line, and he gets to the last spot, and it's empty. He says, are all your kids here, Jesse? And he said, no, there's one, but, you know, you don't really want him. He's just out there keeping the sheep. And he says, bring him forth. We won't sit down until he comes. And so, he displays that urgency. Go and fetch him. Go get him. And so David comes there, and God just speaks to Samuel, said, anoint him, the king of Israel. So he anoints him, the next king of Israel. And oh my, what that must have done for that young man who really nobody really took him seriously. They thought, this young whippersnapper, and they didn't even bring him to the lineup there that day. So nobody really, you know, expected anything from David. And I always challenge, usually at the camp, the youth, and there's a few people that would be considered maybe youth in here tonight, that even though nobody expects anything from you, God still has something for you. God still expects something out of us as Christians, even though maybe this world doesn't. And as I travel and I see different young people and speak to them, and that's really how it is. This world doesn't expect anything from its youth, and they just let them kind of go through their youth, maybe just spending all their time watching TV or playing video games, but never really challenging them to do more than what's expected of them. But here comes, you know, you read the story, and what happened was Saul was troubled by an evil spirit, and he, you know, they were tried all these different things, and they said maybe this young man that plays the harp could come and play for you, that's where they said, and the Lord is with him. So we kind of know that since the Lord's with David, that David is walking with the Lord, that he's spending time with the Lord. And that's really key to set up tonight's message and to set up what we read in the next passage of Scripture. And that's what we've been talking about, walking with the Lord. And how walking with the Lord in those times of that may seem insignificant will lead up to something in your life that may be very significant. Maybe, you know, well, we'll get into that in a second. But he's there, and the Lord is with him, so he's walking with the Lord, and I can see him now. I can picture it, kind of read in between the verses there, him out just praying before the Lord and quoting, you know, some songs maybe that he wrote and singing them unto the Lord and just having a great time with the Lord, just him and the Lord out there with those sheep. And that's really key on how he's going to be used in the future. So we come on, and David goes back home, and he's with the sheep. And then this battle takes place, and there's this battle scene. And so, you know, we have David and his father there, and Jesse, and he's concerned about his sons. He wants his sons, he wants to make sure, you know, like most parents, they'll make sure they, you know, brought their underwear. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing along those lines. But he wants to send along some food and different things for his sons. He's concerned about them. I think more he wants to make sure they're okay, and wants David to make sure they're okay and come back and report. And so he's coming along, and David's coming along to bring his brothers, and he's just obedient in everything, and just follows and does exactly what his father says. But as he's walking down the road that day and getting closer to where the soldiers are, he hears something that he necessarily hasn't heard a lot in his lifetime. He hears this giant voice just blaspheming the name of God. I mean, just saying all the things wicked about God you could say, and calling these men dogs that are supposed to be his servant and his chosen people, and just blaspheming. And then he comes upon the scene there, and I mean, he can't believe it. He just knew that you know, when you blaspheme the name of God, something bad's gonna happen to you, man. He just thought when he got there that these soldiers maybe would be rushing out there to take care of this guy that's blaspheming the name of God. And he to his surprise, he gets there in the camp, and instead of seeing men that are getting just pumped up because they know the Lord's on their side, and this they know for sure this guy's against the Lord and against them, and they're going to go and kill him. Instead of seeing that, he sees guys that are defeated and discouraged and troubled. Even the king is discouraged and troubled. Oh, what are we going to do about this giant Goliath out there? And all their hope is gone. And he starts to run around and saying, "What's going to be done to this giant? Who's going to go out there and show them what we're made of, and show them the Lord's power? Who's going to do it?" And so there in chapter 17, you kind of read some of that. He's running around. What's going to be done for the man? Surely, you know, they're going to just lift that does this thing, and who's going to do it? And then we read that verse 28 where his brother stops him in his tracks and says, "What are you doing here? And who's watching those sheep?" And he's just kind of doubting him. He says, "I know why you're here. You're just a naughty young man, and you came to watch the battle. You need to get back home." And so his brother tries to stop him and discourage him, and tries to stop him from from being excited about this. And then in verse 29, we get David's response, and he said, "And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?'" And as I ponder that verse, and I know it's been used so many times, and probably you've heard messages preached about it before, but I ponder that verse, and that really is it describes the thing of having a cause. It just describes a lot of Christians out there today that don't have a cause. Well, Eliab does, kind of describes a lot of Christians. They don't really, since they haven't spent time with the Lord, and since they haven't been walking with Him, they don't really have His cause in mind, and they're just kind of floating throughout this world, maybe, you know, working for this cause or that cause, but they don't really have a cause that's bigger than them. A cause, something of a higher level that's bigger than them, that motivates them to serve the Lord. See, since they haven't spent time with God, they haven't made His cause their cause. But David had been walking with the Lord. He'd been there and praying to the Lord and all those things. And so his cause in life was right aligned with the Lord's cause. That's why he was riled up about this thing. And his brother tried to get in the way. And as you walk in this life as a Christian, and even maybe some of the brethren, if you would, some other Christians, when you're trying to accomplish something, maybe even some other Christians, they're gonna kinda get in the way, if you would. They're gonna try and stop you from doing the Lord's will in your life. Satan will send people, obstacles, in your way to stop you, and they're gonna kinda ask you the same question, like, yeah, right, you're not for real, you're not really doing this because the Lord has told you to do that, and when those obstacles comes, just kind of have the same attitude as David. Is there not a cause? Isn't there something worth living for? So let's go on, and we're not going to read the whole story, but we all know what happens. He goes there before King Saul, and he is there, and he says, I want to go defeat the lion. And King Saul's like, yeah, right, this kid, you know, he's going to go, I'm going to go defeat Goliath. And then David tells him, I defeated the bear and I defeated the lion there with the Lord's help. And that kind of led him up to this point, if you would. And there's a good point in itself there. If you haven't defeated the bear or the lion yet, then, you know, in preparation, then it's going to be hard to defeat Goliath. But as he went on, the king put the armor on top of him. All over him, and it didn't fit, and he said, hey, I'm just going to do this the way that's worked in the past. And so he goes out to the brook, and he gets the stones, and he goes out there, puts one stone in his pouch, and slings it around and throws it in the air, and I'm sure God guided that rock and just sunk it into the head of that giant, and the giant came tumbling down. Alright, and so he gets on him, and you know how boys are, they like to play around with dead stuff. He goes out there and starts jumping on it, and grabs that big sword. Cool, I got Goliath's sword. And he chops that giant's head off. But what I want to really focus on in this story is what happened to the Israelite army at this time. Here's this young whippersnapper goes out there and they're like, oh, he's gonna die, oh, he's gonna die. And what is he doing out there? He's crazy. See, this was the Lord's army. These were supposed to be mighty men of valor doing the Lord's work out there, taking the promised land that God had promised to them. And yet they were there cowering there at the camp, and they wouldn't go out and do the Lord's work. But here's David out here, just this young man. They're like, oh, he's going to die. And I'm sure they were kind of, covering their eyes like some of us when we watch a scary movie. Oh, no, I don't want to see it. And or something along those lines. I don't watch scary movies, by the way. But, just covering their eyes at the scene and maybe peeking through their fingers or something along those lines. But we all know the story. What happened to this Israelite army? Well, I like to read into this passage of Scripture that they had a little revival that day. That they had a revival. Hey, this dead Israelite army that was its courage was gone, its strength was gone. All of a sudden, the strength came back. All of a sudden, the courage came back. And as they saw this giant fell, hey, they said, hey, look what David did. Go out and get him, boys. Rush and get him. And they grabbed their swords, grabbed their shields, ran out there and just started chopping heads off, and body parts were flying everywhere. It's really a gruesome story. You don't want to read it, but no, I'm just kidding. So they're out there, and they take the field that day, and they drive those Philistines back. Had a mighty victory that day. Why? Because one person one young man, insignificant to this world. Did you know that God chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise? He chose the base things to confound them and to bring the gospel. And the foolishness of preaching and the foolishness of Christians. Hey, sometimes it seems like foolishness out there, spreading the gospel. And certainly to others, to that man that he was talking about, that seemed like foolishness to him. But that's what God chose. God chose just the weak things, if you would. Just the Davids. The ones that really don't have much to offer anybody. They really don't have much, but to God, they're just going to surrender their lives fully and completely to God. But because of this one young man. First of all, because he walked with God. You will not convince me that he got to that point that day. That day of defeating that giant. He'd never talked with God before. He'd never walked with God before. I just don't read that in this Bible. You'll never convince me of that. But because of this one young man who aligned his cause in life to that of God's, they had a revival that day. Now you theologians, don't get after me for this, calling that a revival. I know it wasn't a spiritual revival, but something that was dead, something that was beaten, something that was down, all of a sudden became alive. Now our cause today is a little bit different. You know, when that man called the pastor on the phone and told him those things, pastor didn't run over there, kick down his door and start fighting him, did he? Maybe he wishes he would have, but no, he didn't do that thing. Our cause has changed just a little bit. When Jesus came to this earth, He gave us our cause to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But not only to preach to them, but to teach them, to make disciples. And He gave that cause, He gave that challenge to the local New Testament church. And sometimes we as Christians are fooled into thinking that, yeah, we all need to do our part in going out and in giving to missions, but really, we can all have a part in that cause here together at this church. But something has happened to the armies of the church, if you would. And as I go around and I travel and I see this army stationed here, or this army stationed here, and all the places and all the strongholds of our church, all I see is beaten down soldiers. Soldiers that have forgotten the cause of Christ. And they're just coming into church and sitting, hearing the message, praise the Lord for the message, and then leaving and going about their business. And their cause really isn't aligned with the Lord's. And they're beaten down and they've given up. They say it's just too hard. The giants are too big. We can't defeat them. But they've forgotten that the Lord promised us help. Our giant Goliath, our giants today are far bigger than Goliath ever was. 6 billion people in this world. And they say that every second 3 people die and go to hell. Every second. So 3, 6, 9. And we have such a huge task in front of us. But let me ask you this. Where are the Davids? Where are the Davids? As I read this story, and I'm just going to kind of give you some of my own personal application in this story. As I read this story, I don't want to be like those Israelite armies as I look upon just our huge task of giving the world the gospel. I don't want to be like those men, just camped out in a tent of ease, just there on the battlefield, hearing people all over the world just going to hell and dying and all these things, and just beating the name of Christ and just blaspheming the name of God, and just sitting there and doing nothing about it. I don't want to be like those men. I want to be like David. I want to be somebody who's going to walk with God, who's going to stay persistent in prayer, persistent in reading my Bible, and walk with God until the day finally comes when maybe I can slay a giant, if you would, and it motivate those around me to run and take the battlefield. I believe that God, if you will commit yourself tonight to walk with God, to be like David, to just go out and start in the name of God and walk with Him in the name of God. Start taking some ground for your church. Start helping your church. Hey, someone has to clean the church if visitors are going to come and not be distracted by maybe some trash on the ground or something along those lines. Somebody's got to work in the nursery so that the mamas can come and get saved. Somebody's got to help and bring the food and prepare the food. And you do such a good job of that. But I just want to encourage you to be like David and take part in this church and go out and slay some giants. And it'll motivate those around you. The reason why we're not having revival is because there's no more Davids. There's no more young men. Maybe even older men or older women or something along those lines that know the Lord and that walk with Him and that you could say, hey, the Lord is with them. And going out and while their church maybe is saying, hey, man, they're crazy out there on visitation on Saturday. They're crazy. That doesn't work anymore. Hey, you know, they're crazy as much time as they spend investing in the church here. That's crazy. That doesn't work anymore. But as people come and get saved and they start to see people grow and they start to see this church grow, maybe it'll affect them and motivate them like it did those soldiers that day. So which are you? Are you one of those soldiers that's just battered and beaten maybe and you've lost your cause in life? Well, let me tell you, get a cause. Get a cause like David. Read God's Word and get the cause of this church. Get a cause to your life that's bigger than you. And just let that permeate your life. Let it motivate your life. And start taking ground for the Lord. I kind of had an experience like those Israelites one time in my own life. Again, it was my freshman year of Bible college. You learn so much in your freshman year of Bible college. But I was there in Bible college. The reason why I learned so much in my freshman year of Bible college is because I wasn't doing right before I got there. So I was there my freshman year, and it was second semester. I remember it like it was yesterday. And we started to drive home one night. I was with some guys there that were my friends, and we started to drive home. And we noticed this guy on the street, and he was out, and he was in this place where the traffic was just going by all sides of him. And he was out there, and he was yelling and screaming, and he was wearing a suit like we were. And so we pulled over, and we asked him, "Hey, what are you doing? We've never seen anybody like this before." And he says, "I'm street preaching." We're like, "Oh, really? Tell us, you know, how you did it and all these things." And we were just kind of like, "Isn't this interesting?" But there wasn't any people going by, so we're kind of like, "Well, that, you know, if you're going to street preach, there might as well be some people around you." And one of the guys said, "Hey, yeah, I used to do that back home." And another guy said, "Hey, I used to do that." And so it wasn't required of us from our school. It was required that we serve so much in the church and do door knocking every week, at least 2 hours of door knocking. But it wasn't really required of us to go street preaching. And there was another school there in town, a very good school, OBC, where it was required that you street preach and different things so many hours a week. And we were just kind of like, "Isn't that interesting?" But our school just didn't have a street preaching ministry. And so we're like, "Well, let's try something here." But instead of, you know, preaching to the demons, as they say, or preaching to cars, let's go see if we can preach where there's some people. And some of you are going to think I'm crazy tonight because I've been street preaching, and I'll go street preaching if there's people around. I'll preach anywhere there's people as long as they won't throw me in jail. You know, it needs to be all legal. We decided that every Friday night down there at this place in Oklahoma City called Bricktown, there is just a mass of people that swell in Bricktown, and they're, you know, they're, most of them down there are going to the bars and clubs and all those kind of things, but some of them are just going to have dinner. There's a lot of nice restaurants down there and different things. And these guys said, "Hey, yeah, we'll show you how. Let's go do it." And I was like, "Oh, well, great." You know, I haven't even, you know, I'm still trying to give people the gospel there at their doors and having a hard time with that. How am I going to street preach? So we get out there and I'm just like, "Okay, yeah, this isn't going to work. I'll see you guys later." But I just stuck around, and this young man named, I just saw him not too long ago. He's planning a church. Went to Bible college with me, and he's planning a church down in San Diego. And this young man named Carlos Serrano, he was there, and he's like, hey, here, I'll preach here, just start handing these out. So I'm just there handing out tracts and all these stuff, and then, you know, there's just people everywhere, so I'm handing these out and handing them down there, and this guy dropped his, so I'll just give it back to him, oh, he doesn't want it, and just sitting there handing out tracts. And so I'm there that day, and then all of a sudden behind me, you know, I was just about scared out of my boots. He goes, the Bible says! I'm like, whoa, what does it say? He's behind me, and he just started giving the gospel right there. And he gave the gospel for about a minute, and then he started over. The Bible says! Just raised his voice there. He wasn't really screaming. He just was, you know, using his diaphragm and preaching there. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know. And I just sat there and I was like, hey, you know, there's two or three people there listening to him. And so people walk by, someone stop and listen. And then he you know, I heard him, Joey, come here. And he, you know, so I went over there and he's like, here, this guy wants more information. And so, you know, I started showing that guy some verses, and well, what do you know? The guy got saved, and we just were there that night, and this guy got saved, and then he stops, and he's like, I need a break. He preached for about 20 minutes every, you know, he'd fit the gospel into 2 minutes, then he'd start again, and he did that about 10 times in about 20 minutes, and so then he says, I need a break, it's your turn. And I was like, what do you mean it's my turn? I'm just sitting there passing out. He's like, here, come and preach. And I'm like, that's okay. So, you know, I'm sitting there passing out tracts, and he waits a little while, he got a drink of water, and then he gets up again. The Bible says, and I'm just start listening. He says, come here, Joey, and I go over, and he's there, and praise the Lord, another person is inquiring. And so I start to lead them to the Lord in different things. But something happened to me that night on the street, and I was so afraid of the task that was before us. I didn't know exactly how I was going to do it, and my cause that night was kind of that of my own, but the man whose cause I was with was more aligned with Jesus, because he had a better walk with Jesus. So, you know, he was walking with God, so his cause was aligned with the Lord. But it started to do something inside of me. And it wasn't that night, but it just started, a little fire within me. And it wasn't that night, but the next weekend, we got there. And before, he preached, and he said, Joey, and I said, yes, I'm ready. And I got up, and I just kind of told the story and read the woman at the well, and just how Jesus said, all these things aren't satisfying you, but I'm the living water, and if you drink of me, you will thirst. And I mean, if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. And this guy right down below me, you know, I'm sitting there preaching. He's like, what do you mean never thirst again? I go, Carlos, come on over here. And so he started witnessing to him, but it did something for me. It kind of made me realize what I was supposed to be doing, and it kind of got me back to the place what I was supposed to be doing. And we started preaching there, and we preached there my whole year, my years at Bible college there. And every weekend there'd be one or two saved, and some would even be in the church, come to church. And there's people in Southwest Baptist Church, you know, on every Sunday morning, because we were out there street preaching and out there. And so it charged me up, because he was willing to have the Lord's cause, to have the cause that the Lord had put before him, the Lord had showed him through walking with him. It motivated me and set my soul afire. So let me ask you, wouldn't you be like David? Wouldn't you walk with the Lord, and wouldn't you seek Him and find out what His cause is? Find out what your purpose is in this church, what you're going to do, and align His cause in life, or align His cause with your life, and just say, hey God, I'm going to serve You. Like I was just saying a minute ago, it doesn't mean you have to go be a missionary in some foreign field. Now if God called you to that, you better do it. But just serving here at His church, this is His cause. This is the Lord's cause. Spokane Baptist Church, that people might be drawn to this church, and that people might be saved through visitation, that people might grow as disciples here at the church. This is the Lord's cause. So you can be as involved with the Lord's cause as you want, but wouldn't you be like David and just say, hey, I'm going to do what the Lord has asked me to, and I'm going to go defeat some giants. You know, it was kind of a giant getting into this building, wasn't it? But the giant came tumbling down. And how motivating has that been for you so far? See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what happened in this passage of Scripture. So keep on fighting. Keep on walking with God so that when the giants come up, you can slay them. And who knows, maybe you'll have revival here at Spokane Baptist Church. Maybe God would use you like He used David. And maybe this church, as insignificant as it seems in Spokane right now, maybe this church would be like David. And the churches in this area would look to it. Man, look at what they're doing out there. Look at the people coming. Look at the people being saved. And they maybe would be compared to the Israelite army, and maybe they would rush the battlefield also and be motivated because of what this church is going through. And maybe God would send a revival to the churches in the Northwest. Why? Because this church had some Davids. They weren't afraid to fight. Weren't afraid to do what the Lord had called them to do. Weren't afraid to take on the giants and have the cause of Christ in their hearts. Do you have a cause? Or are you just living this life without one, without the Lord's cause? Well, let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before You and I thank You so much for Your Word. I pray that hearts were stirred tonight, and I pray that we were motivated. Oh God, I pray that You would bless Spokane Baptist Church, and that this time next year they would double in size, or they would be growing according to Your will, Father, and that they'd fill this place up. I pray that You'd help them, Father, to be like David, to not be afraid to take on Goliath, to not be afraid and not be complacent, Lord, but walk with You and then rush the battlefield and take charge and reach this area for Christ. Oh God, I pray that You'd bless them. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody, if you'd stand tonight and bow your heads and close your eyes, and if you'd like to come to the altar tonight and just, you know, pray something along the lines of, God, I'll be a David in this church. God, I'll align my cause with Yours. I'll do more in this church. I'll do my part. I'll be like David. Then you can come to this altar tonight as the piano plays and we sing the verses of invitation. Pastor, would you come?